thing.
I just had a thought. I'm not sure if I'm connecting. This is in my head, okay? I'm not sure if it's going to come out. But we go back to Paul. He was a chosen vessel. And each of us has a unique role in the body of Christ. I think that's very important to start with. Paul had his role. You have your role. I have mine. I just was thinking of Ephesians chapter 4, where, in a sense, you know, God is still working in us now. His goal is to make us more mature. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, it speaks about the gifts in verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, I think that means mature, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So I think that God has begun a work, but his goal is for every one of us to be mature. And I think that therefore within the body of Christ, we all have some role to play in doing our job to build up each other. I think it goes on to say in verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So I thought that would pull some things together, that we have a role. Each of us is put in the body to do something, but our ultimate goal is that we should mature. We are born again. God did that work in us, but he doesn't want us to stay as babes all the time. He wants us to grow up. And I think that's what I see here.
Your question was what to do if we feel, if we don't feel like we're growing, if we don't. I think we will cover that tomorrow, but just a real quick answer, I think a real quick help is John 15. The Lord Jesus said, abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. And so if there's a time in my life where I'm feeling stagnant, I feel like I'm not really progressing, I have to ask myself, am I abiding in him? If I'm not abiding in him, if I'm not feeding on him, if I'm not enjoying him, something's wrong. And there's probably times in all of our lives where we're doing all the right things, we're going through the motions, but something's not right. The peace, the enjoyment might not be there. So that's when we have to check ourselves and say, am I abiding in him? Am I really abiding in him? Am I trying my own strength, or am I abiding in him? Maybe with that self-examination, maybe there needs to be a little bit of confession. Maybe there needs to be a little bit of letting the Spirit of God take the things of Christ and shape me and mold me, and maybe pluck away a few things that aren't of the Lord in my life. It might hurt, but those are some of the things. Just to be very practical with what you're asking, I think the answer is we've got to abide in him. And without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can bear fruit. We can bear more fruit. We can bear much fruit.
So long, we're coming up against time. And it's kind of interesting how this is developing, because I couldn't script this. But the thought of God has begotten us, but he hasn't begotten us to be islands. He hasn't begotten us so that we all are little islands, individuals. You know, part of American culture, North American culture, is the rugged individualist. You know, we have great, lots and lots of literature about the individualist, the person who stood on his own, the person who stood up and made a difference, and blah, 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 blah. In the will of God, in God's way, he has begotten each of us individually, but he has knitted us together to be in relationships. And the next thing that we want to look at is God's will, his declarative will of how he works that in relationships. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's a very profound truth that it sort of kind of hits you in the head, and you say, wait a second. Why do I miss this so often? And we miss it, and Tim's leading comments about this would affect the way we relate to each other is a directly a perfect segue into this text in 2 Corinthians 6. In 2 Corinthians 6, and I'll read it because I want to get through it, reading from verse 16, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." Five things that God says he will do. And they're all tied in the context of a relationship. God's character, as emerging in Genesis chapter 1, is "let us." He is a God of relationship. There is relationship in the Godhead. And so when he begets us and he makes us alive to himself, he makes us alive to something very, very vital and important. He links us together in proper relationship. And then he says, in that relationship, one of the things I'm going to do, what I will do is I'm going to manifest myself. I'm going to interject myself into that relationship so that you can experience me in the ways that is described here. The first one, I will dwell in them. Do I realize that it's the will of God that he dwell amongst his people? But that doesn't work really well if I as an individual don't realize the distinction of my calling being born by the will of God and I am unequally yoked. That's the context of the chapter. If you go earlier in the chapter, he's talking about being unequally yoked. Well, that's an individual. Well, if the individual is unequally yoked, what that does, it works against the perfect unity of what God is doing in bringing us together to be a place where he can dwell. That impacts that. I will dwell among you. His presence amongst his people. One of the fascinating verses is, he says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians, where he talks about when a visitor comes in your midst, that they confess that God is in this place. When does that happen in any of our assemblies? I will dwell amongst them. Why? Because that's my will. That's what I want to do. That's what I will do when the conditions are exactly right. He says, I will walk in them. That it's a dynamic group of people who are living and responsive to what God is saying. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. I will be their God. Relationship. I will be their father. I skipped one. I will be their father. That you and I can experience, not just individually, but collectively, what God wills and desires, that we be in this relationship with himself. I will be dwelling them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. I will receive you. I will be a father to you.